चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 31, Chapter 3 of Sri Tattva Sutra. Achit Pradartha Prakaranam, Matter. According to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, introduction by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Here someone may ask, in what form or with what potency does the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the modes of nature and whose form is eternal and full of knowledge and bliss, act to create the material universes? To answer this question, the author of the sutras begins this chapter, which gives the definition of the word achit, matter. That means he's beyond the modes of material nature, so what would he be using to create within the modes of nature? Sutra 21. Maya shaktir achit gunabati paravara karya rupacha. Matter is the illusory potency, maya, which controls the modes of nature and creates a variety of forms and actions from the lowest to the highest. Summary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, a summary of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary. The Lord's primal potency is endowed with infinite extensions. Among them, two types of extensions can be realized by the human beings. Vidya is the cause of sentience, and avidya is the cause of non-sentience. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport to Mantra 5, the fact that there is nothing but God within and without, everything is a manifestation of his different energies, like the heat and light emanating from a fire. And in this way there is oneness amongst his diverse energies. Although there is oneness, however, the Lord in his personal form still enjoys unlimitedly all the pleasures enjoyed minutely by the tiny parts and parcel living entity. The Supreme Personality of Godhead tells the demigod Brahma, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.34, O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. If it's not connected to Krishna, it doesn't have any substance. Reality only comes because of its connection to the Lord. Right? That's very important, because otherwise, like this morning, the question about, but you know, if something's immoral, then you know, and you have someone who's advanced, but that immorality may not have gone away. So how to see that? Right? That's because one is considering it to be something of substance, but it's not connected to Krishna, so it's illusion. Right? It's not good. It's not going to be beneficial to Krishna consciousness, but it doesn't have any substance. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's said to be like the poisonous snake where you take the fangs out. They can bite you all you want, but it won't have that poisonous effect. Right? Poisonous effect means that one loses God consciousness. Does that make sense? So therefore, anything like that, money or position in society or friendship or affection, all these things, unless they're connected to Krishna, are just illusion. Right? It means the mechanics are going on, but what you think is generating that experience is not the mechanics. Right? It's just the modes of nature. In Bhagavad Gita 9.10, the Supreme Personality of Godhead declares, "This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and is producing all moving and non-moving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again." Right, so it works here because Maya is working under God's direction. So there is someone else who's managing it, but it's still God's rules and she's running it. But it's with his sanction. Right? But because of understanding the principle of reciprocation in relationship, that as someone deals with you, you respond. So what one sees in the material world is the rules, the laws of nature. You follow them, you get a good result. You don't follow them, you get a bad result. Right? So God has created those rules. So as you surrender to him by following his rules, then you get a good result. You don't, you get a bad result. Right? And so then as you try to elevate yourself through higher levels of this, of rules, but still the rules are established by him, but managed by mind. Right? But ultimately it's his sanction. So then we don't have a difficulty with there being a personality that manages the universe that's not God, but at the same time as there's no conflict between them and God. Right? Does that make sense? The person who's creating all the trouble is us. You know what I'm saying? Right? It's just like this. Let us say, right now, I bring in a tricycle about this big.
Tricycle?
A bicycle, but with three wheels. Okay? This big. Full size. And then I say, you want to ride? Yeah? So, what's the response?
Maybe.
Kidding?
I try it.
You haven't had a foot thing, you could stick one foot on it maybe or something. But you understand? So, is the problem that someone's offering you the tricycle, or is the problem as if you accept?
It's the acceptance.
Yeah. You understand? So Maya may be offering things because that's what we show inclination towards. But the acceptance of it's ourself. You know what I'm saying? So the problem's not Maya. So it's not that she's forcing and that there's someone trying to take over, you know, and get rid of God and all that. That's all us. She's a nice devotee. You know, someone has to run the prison. You know, it's not a great job, but someone has to do it.
That's a Christian concept, right?
Yes.
But we spoke on Tuesday about how when we decide that we don't want Maya, then she actually starts working.
No, she keeps showing.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of like here, you know, the cycle says, no. Yeah, but when you were 3 years old, you really loved to ride around on this. You know, you'd spend hours riding around on this, you know, so like that. So
Maya has nothing invested
in it. No. It's just, all it is she's, it's like this. Now, what if you're not interested in the material phenomena? What are you going to do?
Go for the spiritual.
Okay, but what happens if you're going for the spiritual isn't favorable to Krishna?
I'm going to use the material.
Huh?
Yeah, but what my point is that good? If I go to the spiritual, you know, platform, and I use the spiritual platform for my own purposes, right? So that's what Maya makes sure, is that the point is if you're giving up the material, it's got to be to favorably serve Krishna. Otherwise, everybody else she's got covered, right? So the karmi, the jnani, they're all the yogis. But they elevate it to higher levels because they're following rules that are closer to the platform of God consciousness. Right? But they're still not. Right? So it's not favorable. So her business is to keep us busy so we don't bother Krishna. But it's not that she doesn't have anything invested in it. That's her business to make sure. Just like the person stays in the prison as long as they're going to be a threat to society at large, right? Mm-hmm. So when they're not a threat, then they can be let out. Right? Right? And as we were also discussing, the prison is so nicely made. You know, you have all these different activities. And so she's simply, how do you say, reminding you of stuff that you've already done. And that's how she's keeping you there. Right? So the point is the reformation has to come from not that the punishment wasn't good, therefore I'm not going to do it. I don't want it. Because as soon as the remembrance of the pain of the problem goes away, then one will be doing again. That makes sense. You know, so that's the difficulty, is that it has to be, so only a devotee can get out of the material world. So there's where the term bhakti and mukti are the same thing, because only the devotee can be liberated. Because everybody else has to stay under her control, because there'll be a disturbance. Right? In the Bhagavad Gita 7.14, the Supreme Personality of Godhead also declares, "This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it." Because if you surrender to Krishna, then there's nothing here you want. But if you haven't surrendered to Krishna, there's something here you want. Even if it's liberation. But still, the concept of liberation for the soul that's not connected to Krishna is still a mundane concept. Because there is no such thing as liberation separate from Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you're in the house and, you know, something happens in the house, you get upset, so you go outside, you know? Sit in the backyard and this and that. But how long are you going to stay there? Right? At some point, you're going to get hungry or thirsty or have to go to the toilet or figure out, well, maybe it wasn't so bad, or, you know, oh, my favorite program's on, or, you know, something is there, and then you go back in the house. So that's what happens. So only if you give up the concept of I am the Lord and accept that I am the servant of Krishna, then one has this place in the spiritual world. Otherwise, one doesn't. One's just on the edges. Right? The Brahman is it within the spiritual realm, but at the same time as you don't count it as a place of residence. That makes sense.
Like a border between two countries.
Yeah, like that little border between two countries. So, you know, great, you're out of the one country, but, you know, there's still barbed wire and there's still all kinds of guys pointing guns at you, you know, so...
But there is no tax.
Huh?
There is no tax.
Yeah, but then sit down there. There's no tax, there's no job, there's no toilet.
There's nothing to buy.
There's nothing to buy, nothing to eat. Now you can sleep there, you know, so basically the living entity can go to Vermont and sleep. And after you've had a really good nap, then either you go to the next country or you go to back. You know, so if you don't know that there's a next country, you'll go back. Right? So only a devotee, he knows there's a next country, so he gets out of this one and keeps going. Is that in Srimad Bhagavatam, right, so the point is this devotional service is the only real activity. Everything else is illusory. It's just activities of the world here. It's like playing with machines that don't have any electricity. You know, it seems like so much is happening. You know what I'm saying? But nothing's going on. So when it's connected to Krishna, then you can get out of Maya. But if it's not connected to Krishna, then she manages it. In Srimad Bhagavatam 3.11.1.2, Sri Maitreya declares, "This material manifestation's ultimate particle, which is indivisible and not formed into a body, is called the atom." It exists always as an invisible entity, even after the dissolution of all forms. The material body is but a combination of such atoms, but is misunderstood by the common man. Atoms are the ultimate state of the manifest universe. When they stay in their own forms without forming different bodies, they are called the unlimited oneness. There are certainly different bodies in physical forms, but the atoms themselves form the complete manifestation. So the material energy is all the atoms. So now, according to our conditioning, we will act, and then that prarabdha karma generates the various forms. But those forms aren't the complete, you can say, existence of the material energy. It's all the atoms. Right? So even what we're dealing with is even just a part. So you have all the material energy is atoms, right? Indivisible. There's nothing smaller. So defining something that you can divide means it's not an atom yet. Right? They call it an atom, but you know, I'm sure previously they used to call a molecule an atom until they figured out that it was made up of these little, what now they call atoms. Now the atoms have all these little things, and then eventually they'll find something smaller than that. Right? But generally speaking, they won't be able to get to the atom. Right? It's just the way it's arranged. So now the atom is a complete material energy. Right? So as you work, things are manifest from that potency, but it's not all the potency. Like this isn't all the potency here. Right? There's unlimited earth and all. That's what pradhan is. Just all these atoms just there homogeneously there. Nothing's manifest. So the mahat means there's a potential to manifest forms. Right? Does that make sense? Right? And then as we act, then different forms are made and everything. Does that make sense? Yes.
Atoms have one quality, or they are in different qualities per...
You want to know if your atomic chart will still be useful once you get to the atom.
Just because it said I was trying to comprehend what is the atom.
The atomness of the atoms. Jai, Haribo. No problem.
I just bought one gas from Bangalore.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Hare
Krishna. No. Yeah. Going around? Yeah. Please. Thank you. How are you going? You're the one that used to come to came to Udupi? Okay. Hare Krishna. His wife, Shatavanya's wife, and his sister. I'm not sure that there's not two involved. Yes.
So atom would be in like this individual part of pradhan, or
pradhan has that. But there are atoms of earth, atoms of fire, atoms of like that. But the point is earth is just the atoms. But then it comes together. What we're seeing here, this is a manifestation of using earth atoms. But it's not that this isn't the earth. This is just a manifestation of the earth atoms. Right? Just like a fire is only part of the earth. But so in pradhan, they're just all homogeneously. You know, then it's manifest. The secondary creation means they're manifest. Does that make sense? So here is Maitreya is discussing this, but the point is that the material body is a combination of such atoms that we mistake it and think the body is what's alive and the body is what's giving the emotions and doing all the interaction. No, it's still just atoms. Right? So understanding that, then it's the soul that's special, and then Krishna is the origin of the soul, and then therefore we serve. So Maya's business is just creating this illusory manifestation of the atoms, you know, into all these forms that for us have substance. Not that they're not there. I mean, we don't mean substance that they're not there, an illusion that they're not there, like the Maya bodies. We're saying they actually exist in that form. It's a manifestation of that. But what you're experiencing from it is not coming from those atoms. Those atoms just manifest into that so that you have something to interact with. Right?
Yes. So Maya is creating the forms what we perceive, but Paramatma is creating the experience.
Yes, but it's still it's Maya. He's approving it. Maya does it through the modes of nature.
But you were saying when we experience that quality.
Yes, but it's Krishna on the Brahman platform. Yeah. As Brahman. You know what I'm saying? But when we're talking about Krishna as a person and Maya as a person, then it's the modes of nature that are carrying it out. Right? The action. But what you're experiencing is Krishna in that state of that particular quality of Brahman, because it's Saguna Brahman. So technically all this is Brahman. Right? So the atoms are Brahman. It's inferior Brahman. Right? So the point is Krishna has to enter it as superior Brahman. But he doesn't consort with the Brahman, the inferior Brahman. He doesn't become the pillar. Him and the internal potency, they're the potencies that you're interacting with. You know what I'm saying? And then the material nature, based on how you deal with, you know, with the material nature, then she transforms, you know, because of the Pradhan, into something else. So, the atoms come apart, go back together, and all this and that.
Because when you're saying that, you know, dead matter, so that's made by Maya. That's what you've been explaining.
It's not made by Maya.
I mean, arranged.
It means the forms of it are arranged. Otherwise, the atoms, that's her. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah.
But
the experience, they say, is...
The experience is not coming from her.
Yeah.
But the point is, because we're interacting with it and not seeing Krishna, then technically we're interacting with her and her husband. You understand? Does that make sense?
So this is where Shiva comes in?
Yes. So that then you're dealing actually with Shiva and Parvati. Right? But for the devotees, you're dealing with Lakshmi Narayan.
So when this kid gets his tricycle, that's Maya puts the atoms into shape of the tricycle.
Yes.
But then the fun the kid is getting, or whatever, by seeing the color or riding or whatever, that's coming by...
It's coming from Krishna. But the point is...
But through Shiva?
It's like... The Sarup Shakti is one energy. Right? And that includes the internal, external, and the jivas. So that means she can act as internal potency or as external potency. So when he acts as internal potency, therefore you have Radharani and Yogamaya. When you're dealing with the external potency, you're dealing with Mahamaya. Right? So as Yogamaya, she arranges the internal. As Mahamaya, she arranges the external. It's the same person. But the point is you're dealing with Mahamaya, so you're getting that effect. For the devotee, they're dealing with Yogamaya. You know what I'm saying? The simultaneous oneness and difference. You know what I'm saying?
So Maharaj, could I look at that in the perspective that the same Ladini Shakti in the spiritual world, in this medium, I notice because I'm conditioned and enjoy and control as the mode.
Yeah, I will see that as the mode of goodness or happiness or pleasure. You know what I'm saying? But, does that make sense? So it's like what you're saying before. Your love is it takes on that particular quality when it's applied in that area. You know what I'm saying? You know when it's applied into games, this frivolity or the sportiveness or the chivalry or it turns into those things. You know, does that make sense? So the what is the value that you're looking for? That's what the love is turned into, right? And God is love. So therefore, what you're dealing with is Him. You're interacting with Him because only something of common nature can interact with something else that's common in nature. Right? Two things of common nature can interact. If they're not of common nature, they don't interact. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So the devotees will understand this from the devotional platform, Sagun Brahman. Right? So it's all part of the philosophy. You see in this third canto, now you're applying those things. But at the same time, Vaisheshika, he's seeing this part of the philosophy of the Veda. And then understanding, well, if you stop karma, means we're suffering because of the material manifestations, because of our attachment. You give up the attachment, then these forms stop manifesting that give us problems. So then it all just goes back to atoms, and we're free, we're liberated. You know, he's just taking that one principle and making a whole philosophy out of it. Right? Because it's part of the complete, then, you know, you can think like that, but it's actually not the full understanding of this aspect of philosophy.
He's missing the sagun element from it.
Yes, he's missing the sagun element. Even if they understand, but he doesn't understand on the spiritual platform that sagun remains. You know, so they just want to come to the liberated platform. So they understand God's in control. He's the one that controls the nature, right? As the saying here. Energy of mind consists, but they don't see that the problem is that I'm not serving God. They see the problem is I'm entangled in material energy, right? So that's what's different about the Vedic philosophies. They're never technically opposed to God. Right? You may have an individual is, but they're technically not. They're just incomplete forms of the philosophy of the complete. Does that make sense? Right? That's why Mayavads are put off separate, because they're using Vedic evidence, but their philosophy is not Vedic. It's atheistic. Right? The Vedic philosophies are never called atheistic. Right? They just don't have necessarily a very complete understanding of the Lord.
Is that a difference in Mayavadi and Brahmavadi?
Yes. Like that. Mayavadis are in the category of the impersonal, because they're the ones you most deal with. Because it'll be easier. See, someone who follows the Vedic culture, then the Brahmavad would have more meaning. But someone who doesn't follow the Vedic culture, the Brahmavad platform won't mean much. The Mayavad platform will, because the Mayavad is non-Vedic. You know what I'm saying? So you would relate better. You know what I'm saying? So within the world, the prominence, you know, the Mayavadis will be your strong influence, as opposed to the Brahmavadis. Yeah. Because the Brahmavadis, you have to understand what is Brahman. Like that. So. Okay, yeah, okay. But the atoms themselves form the complete manifestation. It means you have manifestations, but there's so much more. Even the quantumists, they... can only account for 1/10 of the mass of the universe. Right? So all the forms that are manifest is only, and what they're seeing is only 1/10. They don't know it's a little bit beyond that.
I was just listening to a documentary about some of the, you know, more spiritual quantumists, and they're really, you know, like a as an individual entity, they're coming to this point, they have unified field and all that, they see everything is connected by experiment, but they just cannot put their head around how, but and they're starting to include consciousness stuff, that the experiment varies depending if you're conscious of it or not. And they can't put their head around that factor, because then, you know, like if you observe, don't observe it, it will behave like this. If you observe it, it behaves in another way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, of course.
And then they're just coming very, very close, but they always
come close, but that's what the previous ones were about, is that without devotion, one can't actually understand. So even Brahman, without the proper attitude, one can't. Without surrender, because what are they doing in the way of surrender? Right? The Brahmavadi at least surrenders. He has a guru, he's following guru in shastra, he has a sadhana, he's following the Vedic lifestyle, you know. And so, therefore, it will have some meaning. But what are they doing? Right? Other than their, you know, attempt at worshipping knowledge. But the point is how much will knowledge reveal since their purpose of the knowledge is for themselves? Right? Once they figure this out, then what are they going to do? It means if let us say you could figure out how the universe functions exactly. You know what I'm saying? No doubts, everything very clear. What's the next step?
To work according to its functioning. To work according to the way it's
functioning. And do what?
Then you have to be the multi because
that's... No, that's there. That would be the highest. But let's say, you know, that we understand the laws are there, so it, yeah, you'd exploit it. In other words, when you figure out how it works, then you exploit it. Like, I don't know, you've heard it, I mean, now I don't think they call it that, but it's called chaos theory. Mm. Because they came to the point where everything they could make sense out of except for chaos. You know, so it's like, say, water goes off the side of, you know, goes off and falls into some other water. Then what the water does when it hits, they couldn't calculate it. But now with these big supercomputers, they've calculated it. I can't even think, call it fractals. I mean, that's now it's called fractals. Instead of being chaos, now it's fractals. Immediately, already there's programs how to use fractals, you know, on the stock market. You know, so immediately, it's just as soon as you understand, they're going to exploit it. You know, so the point is why would Maya allow them to understand who she is if they're just going to exploit her? Right? Does that make sense?
And apparently they're... But then when you see the consequences of the exploitation, it's very clear.
Yeah, that's there. But if you're covered, you can't see.
Yeah, we'll do better next time.
Yeah.
Always under the illusion that...
Yeah, next time.
That time we didn't know, but now we know.
Yeah. Yeah, the point is they'll never understand because it's the Lord's creation, it's for Him. And they want to use it for themselves. If they surrender to God, then they may be able to understand it. But even if they've understood it, then they'll understand this is only a fraction of God's splendor. He says it's a spark of my splendor. And if this is so amazing, and this is only a spark, then what's the rest of the, what's the bonfire like? You know? Yes? Yeah, no, they have the symptoms of life, but they can't tell what life is. Yeah, no, they got, that'd be interesting. Then. The 40 questions.
You need to send them a reply.
Yeah. It's like, what do you call it? It's like...
letters from our readers.
One question for each of Alibaba's men.
They fly all these thousands of miles, never done it before. They know exactly where to go, where to stop.
Yeah, true. Yeah, they only go that much. Yeah. They don't go farther.
A bee also, by all the aerodynamic calculation, it's not supposed to fly.
Yeah.
And it's just bumblebee, yeah.
I mean, and these are the ones they see. You should see the ones around here. The one that Radharani talked to, those are called the Bomras. Because these ones, you know, it means they have a hard shell, but there's kind of like fuzzy on the outside. Okay. But these ones look kind of like a June bug without the rhinoceros horn, right? And then they have the same little dinky wing. They're just as big and hard like that. And so, you know, these other bees get up and fly just regular bumblebees. But these guys, they go like this, and then they go point, and then they are like this, and then turn over, and then like that. And they're really, you know, so if they're bewildered by those, the regular bumblebees, wait till they see these guys. They're funny. That was one place, it was somebody's house, but they don't use it. But when guests come, they can stay there. So there was a whole lot of them. They had moved in because they make a hole in the bamboo and live inside. You know, they don't have, you know, like a regular nest. And so there were tons of them, you know. And they don't come and stink. So you can just sit there on the veranda and watch them and do all these crazy things. You know, they're going to go down like this. You know, they can stop like that. They're really funny.
From a different angle at the same point. Civilizations used to be a lot longer. I mean, as we seem to have more technology, it gets, you know, the British Empire and the American Empire, it all seems to be short-lived.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like even you get this, you know, you have the Greeks, so you have the ancient Greeks, and then I forget, then there's the classic Greek, and I can't remember. There's like about three or four different levels, you know, spanning thousands of years. You know, and then the Roman Empire, we had the, what was it, the Republic. No, what was it before? You had all the kings and all that, then you had the Republic, and then you had the emperors. So you kind of have three main areas. You know, but here it's like, you know, over a few years, you know, you take, you know, you have, you know, some variety of goth or punk or, you know, things like that, and you had, you know, so many breakdowns of that, you know. Does that make sense? Punks that wear only black, punks that wear black and one color that's a little out of, you know, question, you know, like that. So, and that's happening, you know, over months. You know. Well, if you come to the point of, like, the bugs and overnight culture, and then the next morning, you know, it's dead, and then, you know, you sweep it up, and then, you know, another one starts.
I always found the tattoo funny, because when that goes out of fashion, then it's like, yeah. What do you do?
Get a lot of long sleeve shirts. Yeah, because especially it's just like these older cultures, they had them, but you could cover them up. You know, they didn't put them on their head, their hands, their feet, and now they don't. So, yeah.
In different
tribes,
you have different matters presenting as Maya.
Yeah, means the matter is Maya. Means her as a person. Means Maya is illusory potency. Maya doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. But she is the potency. She controls the modes of nature and makes it work. But the rules on which she functions and the energy is still coming from him.
But I can say that Maya is a person.
Yes, Maya is a person.
So matter is also... When you think about matter, it is dead matter. No consciousness. But here, how can we equal Maya?
Because it's just one of the Lord's inconceivable potencies. I mean, she's conscious, but the manifestations created due to our corrupted karma is not conscious. It's not that she's not conscious. But the thing is that it's sitting there and slobbering and wagging its tail and barking. That's not what that, you know, means. That it's just earth and water and fire and air and ether. You know what I'm saying? But the Lord's potency from the primary creation, that's the Mahat. That's why Mahat is distinguished from Pradhan. Pradhan is what it's made out of. And the Mahat is then where that has been divided so it can, I mean, then, yeah, it can manifest into specific forms that are empowered by the primary creation. Does that make sense? So that's why there's Pradhan and Mahat. You know, the Mahatattva. Right? Then you have all the elements that are the breakdown of it. So Mahat is pradhan, that the living entity's time and false ego then applied on. So then you have all this manifestation. Because if there's no living entities and no false ego, right, there wouldn't be any manifestation. Right? So she's the complete manifestation, the particular thing. You know what I'm saying? So she'll be aware, that's why you get into trouble for not dealing with it properly. But it doesn't affect her. You know what I'm saying?
The glance of the Lord is those three factors that you mentioned.
Yes.
The mind, the soul, and ahankara.
Yeah. Like that. That glance is sadashi.
This will be in the next verses.
Okay. So that's sadashi. In the issue of Upanishad, Mantra 11, it is said, only one who can learn the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. So you have to know nescience and transcendental knowledge. So you're talking about the material energy and the spiritual energy. More you're talking about illusion and and proper consciousness. So the ranges of consciousness, that will create that's how one can transcend. Because you see they're non-different. Because material, when we say material, it'll have two applications. One, we can say the material, phenomena. The word, though not even the word, just the material manifestation. Let's say, the where Mahavishnu lies down in one quarter, but you're still dealing with Brahman here. Right? It's all coming from him. But at the same time as our looking at it is it's separate from the Lord. That's where material actually is. Right? Does that make sense? So how you perceive it makes it whether it's actually spiritual or material. Right? The deity's altar is spiritual. Right? But it's made out of the same wood that your neighbor put on his front porch. Right? Does that make sense? You both went down to the place and you were buying the wood and he was buying the wood and, like that. He made a porch out of it, you made an altar. Yes?
And 2 Sundays ago you said that about the temple, that was dead matter. And I had a hard time digesting that because I thought it would be spiritualized.
It's spiritualized, but it's spiritualized dead matter. It's marble. They went and dug it out of a hole over in Rajasthan somewhere by some Muslims with a stick of dynamite and a crane. You know what I'm saying? But then you bring it here and then you build something for Krishna and then it's spiritualized. In other words, because it's the same person, we said Mahamaya and Yogamaya, you use it for the Lord, then you're dealing with Yogamaya. You're using it not for Krishna, it's Mahamaya. I'm trying to point out is that otherwise we don't make distinction, because then the next thing is in there, I think in what we were discussing there, is then our discussions about those things that have nothing to do with Krishna, like Prajalpa about the community, that is not spiritual. You know what I'm saying?
You were talking also about the situation.
Yeah, it's the situation.
So, but in the Dham, is the situation material?
No, it's spiritual, but there's a thin layer covering of Maya, so that if you like to see Maya, that's what you'll see.
But if I see the tree?
It's up to you. I don't know what you see. If you see a kalpa vriksha, then it's spiritual. If you just see a palm tree, then not as spiritual. But the effect of the Dham is still there. Questions brewing, but it hasn't mattered. It's still in the form of atoms. And then slowly. Yes.
In the Sabit Maharaj and body of pure devotee is in which category?
What's the question?
What's
the difference between the body of the devotee and the altar? It's made from earth, water, fire, air, and ether, but it's being engaged in Lord's service, so its effect is spiritual. So therefore, we qualify it as spiritual.
Okay.
Does that make sense? The point is that the Swarup Shakti is one person. The problem is we're trying to make two people out of it. Yogamaya and Mahamaya are the same person, just different offices. You know what I'm saying? So they look different and this and that, and the office is different. It's the same person. Does that make sense? Yeah. All superior and inferior activities in this world are transformations of Maya. Right? So in this world, so heavenly planets, all very, it's still Maya, and then your inferior, your hellish region, they're still all Maya. Right? So only what's connected to Krishna, then we're not talking about Maya. Doesn't mean it's not made out of material energy, I mean out of inferior energy. But, you know, you understand? The problem is the overlap of terms. Here someone may protest. This potency creates the material world independently, without the help of anyone else. Why must you postulate the existence of a supreme God? Right? Because there your materialists will then say, you know, it's just the energy is there, and because of the combination, and there's life and consciousness. You know, when that combination doesn't quite work, then the consciousness and life go away. Yes.
It's also interesting to note that how atheists usually say, why do we need God? Not so much, does he exist or not?
Yeah.
I mean, it indicates that it's kind of out of their paradigm.
We want to avoid him.
Hmm?
They want to avoid him, so.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't need him.
Why do we need him?
Because of seeing yourself as the center, why do I need?
Yeah, as the center of the universe, why don't need any, you know. I'm already taking up the whole space.
Yeah.
But this way, Krishna is everything, at the same time he's the center. That's it. Puts him in his own category, because we can't do that. Because it's him, therefore you see manifestations that have those elements. You know, and we being part and parcels of the qualities, but we don't have that unlimitedness like he has. You know, we can put ourselves as the center, but we don't have the unlimited that we're everything that we're the center of also. You know, so that's the... To answer this protest, the author of the sutra speaks these words. Sutra 22. Jaratvat kriti shunya chaitana prerita bhavati samgyavatvat. Matter is naturally inert, for it is neither alive nor conscious. When conscious life pushes it into action, matter appears to be alive and conscious. Summary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Summary of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary. Matter is naturally inert, for it is neither alive nor conscious. It has no power to perform any action. When conscious life pushes it into action, matter appears to become warm with life. It is under these conditions that matter appears to act, becoming the creator of the universe. In the purport to Mantra 10, Srila Prabhupada writes, the material body and mind are bad bargains for the spiritual living entity. The living entity has actual functions in the living spiritual world, but this material world is dead. As long as the living spiritual sparks manipulate the dead lumps of matter, the dead world appears to be a living world. Actually, it is the living soul, the parts and parcels of the supreme living being who move the world. As Krishna in the Gita says, it's the living entities who sustain the universe. The manifestation of the universe, or you know, the universe itself as a manifestation, is because of the living entities. Right? It's created so that their corrupted karma can be, you know, affected, you know, experienced. But otherwise, then it's just a energy of the Lord. It doesn't need to manifest, right? The atoms are very happy to remain as atoms. Right? The dearest have come to know all these facts by hearing them from superior authorities, and have realized this knowledge by following the regulative principles. Before the phenomenal creation, nature was in a state of equilibrium. When the transcendental seminal principle of divine vision was projected in it, the equilibrium became agitated and the phenomenal creation started due to that energy. Right? So it's actually the Lord's energy that's making it act. But she's the one that, you know, makes all these, but it's Krishna's potency that's there. It's just like if you have some authority and then you tell someone else to get all these different things done that's based on your authority, they're doing the work, but without your authority they can't do that. Like the police can't go out and stop you in the street and ask for your license and take you down to the station and do all those things unless they have the potency of the government behind them. Right? But it's not the government that's personally out there catching you on the street. But at the same time, they're non-different from the government, but different. Right? But it's the government's potency that they can, by which they can act. Does that make sense?
So if Krishna was considered like the president, he might be like the governor of the state or region.
Yeah, like that. Whoever's dealing with the, you know, day-to-day management.
Maha Maya would cover the spiritual
district. Hmm?
And Yoga Maya would cover the
spiritual
district.
Yeah. But it's the same person. Right? You know, it's like you have one chair and you have two desks. Whoever walks in this way, you turn around this way and talk to them. Walks in that way, you turn around and talk to them that way. You know? And then she has her two masks. You know.
One's happy and one's not.
Or they say one's normal and she puts on the mask for the other one. Formulate.
No, I already have, but waiting for the trigger to set it up. It's loaded.
Like a bouncing Benny or something. You know? You trip the wire, then boing. Okay. This is described in Bhagavad Gita 9.10 where the Supreme Personality of Godhead declares, "This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and is producing all moving and non-moving beings." Remember, before is the oneness and difference. So that still applies here. Right? In the Aitreya Upanishad 1.1.1, it is said, "With a glance, the Supreme Personality of Godhead created the material world."
This glance is Sadashiva, yes? Lord Vishnu, and the very glance entering is Sadashiva.
But see, the glance is non-different from the Lord, so it's Mahavishnu, right? Yes?
And when it contacts the material energy?
No. I'm not catching it. Mahavishnu is glancing, and Mahavishnu, out of his pores, all the universes are coming.
Yes.
Right? It's Mahavishnu, not someone else. Right? But what makes the difference between the Purusha avatars and the Vaikuntha avatars? What's the difference in mood?
Creator and destroyer and maintainer.
Yes. So maintainer is Vishnu. Creator is Hiranyagarbha, destroyer is Sadashi. You understand? So when the universes are coming out, when you're breathing out, then that's Hiranyagarbha, right? But the point is that one is functioning, one's existence, right? Because Sankarshan is existence, but Sankarshan transformed is Shiva, right? So instead of it being pure goodness, it's ignorance, right? Does that make sense? So that's the basis of the existence. So that glance is Mahavishnu, but that glance is Sadashi. Right? Does that make sense? It means Mahavishnu. Karanadakshaya Vishnu has three aspects. Right? That of Hiranyagarbha. Right? That of Vishnu. And that of Sadashi. Right? Now, when those enter the universe, right, then it becomes Lord Brahma. Hiranyagarbha becomes Lord Brahma. That potency then goes into Lord Brahma. Vishnu is Garbhodaksha and Kirudaksha Vishnu. And Sadashiv then into Rudra. Right? Because Hari Bol. Hari Krishna. The mere semblance of that divine glance is manifested in the material world in the form of heat and attraction, by which the entire solar system is activated and controlled. The jivas are created out of his divine vision, and therefore they are enabled to independently activate the nature. This independence, however, is limited. Right? The mere semblance of that divine glance, heat and attraction. Right? Because attraction is prajumna. That's garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Right? Yeah. So they are able to independently control this nature, but it's limited. Right? It's still within God's laws. All natural phenomena, changing seasons, earthquakes, generation of cloud and showering of rains, etc., are generated due to this divine vision. Right? So this divine vision, what was means Sadashiva is what bounces back, what enters is Rudra. Right? So then in that form, then Maya takes care of here. But at the same time, Maya's it means Sadashiva is also with the transcendental, his consort. Right? That's Rama Devi. Right? Understand? So this is the point where the transition, the transformation is there. So this becomes...
And this act of creation of jivas is like intimate connection between Rudra and his consort.
Created out of this divine vision means... Meaning? What exactly is the question?
That when scriptures refer to the intimate connection between Lord Rudra and his consort, this refers to the...
That is what creates all the forms of this world. Yeah, so then you could say here is jiva, meaning how they'll manifest and interact here, so all the forms that are here are from their interaction. Right? All natural phenomena are generated due to this divine vision. It is not logical to accept the rules, but to discard the ruler. So that's the difficulty, is that we were saying before, the scientists accept the rule, but not the ruler. Like that. Therefore, the inactivity of the mundane nature has been accepted in this sutra due to its inertness. Nature cannot do anything without being activated by the Lord. So it's been activated, therefore it's functioning under that authority. But she knows what to do, so she runs on her own. But it's without his sanction, means he's already sanctioned. If they do this, this is what happens. If you do that, that's what happens. So she just manages that. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:26-17, Lord Kapila explains, "My dear mother, O daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, the time factor, as I have explained, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom the creation begins as a result of the agitation of the neutral, unmanifested nature." Right, so time is the Supreme Lord. And that aspect of the Lord that transformed, you know, as false ego enters. Right? Because instead of being ego, it's false ego.
Time is what puts it in motion?
Yeah, time is motion. That's why for them, time is what's... With the scientists, time is their fundamental thing. So they're really into their atomic time and all these different things. Time is motion. Like it says, how much time it takes, you know, the ray of light to travel over an atom. You know, so that's a certain amount of time. That's how you measure it, is through motion. In the blinking of an eye, it's motion. Does that make sense? So that's a nimisha. So all these different things, they're all done according to movement. In the next sutra, the author shows that the illusory potency, Maya, is a prison for the conditioned soul. Sutra 23. Sa paranu raktanam karavad dehadi bandhana rupa. Maya imprisons the conditioned souls who are averse to the Supreme Lord in the form of physical body, etc. Summary of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary. Here the word sa means the material nature. Para means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And ananu raktanam means of they who, exercising their independence, have no love for the Lord and are fond of disobeying his orders. That's a full translation. They who, exercising their independence, have no love for the Lord and are fond of disobeying his orders. Sorry?
Sometimes when you think about the independence and, you know, like people said the other day, why did you make us like that? But then when you hear it like that, you realize it's just like a bunch of bratty kids.
Basically.
And you feel like, wow, yeah.
Time to get it together, right? Yeah. And are fond of disobeying his orders. It's kind of like that. For such persons, the material nature provides a series of shackles, which will begin with the material bodies in which the conditioned souls dwell, right? Because you have to be kept here. So you have to have something that will keep you here. So if you think you're your body, you know, your body can't go anywhere, you know, outside of its general law, so it keeps you around here. Can't go to other planets, just that. Otherwise, if they could, they'd make trouble. Now they talk about we'll go to the moon and we'll colonize and set up there and everything will be great. No, it'll just be like, you know, some, you know, backstreet slum somewhere also, you know.
Just without air.
Yeah, no air.
McDonald's.
You know, like that. Yeah. Like that. Vacuum burgers. You don't have to worry about it. When you go up to the place there and you buy something on the moon, you don't have to ask if it was vacuum packed.
And you can also cheat on weight.
Yeah, so I see so many advantages. Right? For such persons, the material nature provides a series of shackles which begin with the material bodies in which the conditioned souls dwell. This is described in the following words of the Katha Upanishad 227. They who do not love the Supreme Personality of Godhead enter a mother's womb and again dwell in a material body. Some even become unmoving trees and plants. They attain different stations in life according to their past deeds and according to their thoughts at the moment of death. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport to Mantra 17, the material body is a foreign dress. The Bhagavad Gita 2.20 clearly says that after the destruction of the material body, the living entity is not annihilated, nor does he lose his identity. The identity of the living being is never impersonal or formless. On the contrary, it is the material dress that is formless and takes a shape according to the form of the indestructible person. Right? So Prabhupada, there's that quote where Prabhupada says, it's the soul who's the doctor, not the body. Right? Because the soul takes on that mentality, so the material energy that's formless takes on that form to match it. But otherwise, material energy is formless, because it's Brahman. Right? But that Brahman doesn't have the qualities, right?
Well, they're not manifest.
Yeah, they're unmanifest. But then the Sagun Brahman entering it, then that makes everything functional. So we see is the manifestation is actually a pastime of Brahman. Right? That's what, you know, the Maya bodies aren't going to bend their head around that one, right? But it's Brahman's pastime.
Is that the
it's just because you're just dealing with the generic energy, and then depending upon how the living entity wants to see or interact or independence. According to their independence, then there's a manifestation in that particular form of the external, you know, of the inferior Brahman and the Saguna Brahman. And that's what you're interacting with. But we think it's got substance and it's life and it's really happening and all that, but it's not. It's just us interacting with Brahman. The identity of the living entity is never impersonal or formless. On the contrary, it is the material dress that is formless, and that takes a shape according to the form of the indestructible person. No living entity is originally formless, right? Because it has the form because the living entity is there. When the soul goes, then it goes back into its formless state. Does that make sense? So the material energy is formless, but it takes a form according to
conception.
Yeah, the conception of a living entity.
There is a video about the physics, the quantics, and they show a drop of water from a blessing from a Buddhist function, mm-hmm. from a scene of violence, and they have different formats. According to their microscopic pictures, they assume different configurations.
It's a research by Imato, he's a Japanese guy. He's photographing the water exactly at the moment of freezing. So he takes water from, let's say, a nice lake, and it makes these very nice crystals. Then he takes, let's say, the water of New York, and it looks like this horrible thing. Then you do the same water from the yogi, and let's say blessed by a Zen monk or something. Then it becomes, again, you know, very, very beautiful.
And then the drop from the water of all those people from New York that go to that lake for vacation. And then again, it's not so nice. And then after the Buddhist comes back and blesses the lake.
But even they found out that just to put a word on the bottle, like they take a bottle and they just put the word peace, or, you know, they put another bottle, they put like, I will kill you, you know, and then the water, just from adding the word on it, becomes like these ugly crystals, and the other one becomes like very, very nice. And now they're trying to explain
the different modes of nature, actually.
Yeah, yeah, just the modes of nature and stuff, yeah.
What was
the relevance of that? I just didn't quite catch it.
Because it's a movie on quantum physics.
I understand, but I've seen that.
The material energy.
But she's just wondering how it connects to what we were discussing.
Yeah.
Oh, it just takes on the form of whatever's the mood of the living entity that's interacting. So that must really throw off the quantum physics, right?
Is it maybe called quantum leap?
What the bleep do we know? What the bleep do we know?
That's vibrational medicine.
Quantum physics is becoming somewhat humble.
Yes.
But they don't know really what's going on. No
living entity is originally formless, as is wrongly thought by those with a poor fund of knowledge. But in any case, the material bodies of all animals and men are foreign to the living entity. They change according to the living entity's desire for sense gratification. Right? It's the same point being made. Right? In the purport to Mantra 11, it is stated, since the creation of the material world, everyone has been trying to obtain a permanent life. But the laws of nature are so cruel that no one has been able to avoid the hand of death. No one wants to die, nor does anyone want to become old or diseased. The law of nature, however, does not allow anyone immunity from old age, disease, or death. Nor has the advancement of material knowledge solved these problems. Material science can discover the nuclear bomb to accelerate the process of death, but it cannot discover something that can protect man from the cruel hands of old age, disease, and death. Yeah, they've never worked on a bomb. Right? You just go on there and just, you know, drop it there, and then suddenly when it goes off, everybody there becomes, you know, full of health and everything like that. And Yeah, no, it's just, they've never figured that one out. You know. In the purport to mantra 11, yes. Death is very common.
In fashion.
Yeah. Yeah. Some kind of other. Yeah. Hasn't been really happening since the bubonic plague, but it's back.
New and improved.
Yeah, new and improved. Yeah. In the purport of Mantra 14, it is stated, in the material nature, everyone is under the stringent laws of matter and must pass through six stages of existence. Birth, growth, maintenance, production of byproducts, deterioration, and finally death. No one in contact with material nature can be beyond these six laws of transformation. Therefore, no one, whether demigod, man, animal, or plant, can survive forever in the material world. The duration of life varies according to species. Lord Brahma, the chief living entity, beginning within this material universe, lives for millions and millions of years, while a minute germ lives for some hours only. But no one in the material world can survive eternally. Things are born or created under certain conditions. They stay for some time, and if they continue to live, they grow, procreate, gradually dwindle, and finally vanish. According to these laws, even the Brahmas, of which there are millions of different universes, are all liable to death, either today or tomorrow. Therefore, the entire material universe is called Martyaloka, the place of death. Material scientists and politicians are trying to make this place deathless because they have no information of the deathless spiritual nature. This is due to their ignorance of the Vedic literature, which contains full knowledge confirmed by mature transcendental experience. Unfortunately, modern man is averse to receiving knowledge from the Vedas, Puranas, and other scriptures. Right, so this concept of deathless is because that's the nature of the soul. Right, so therefore they're endeavoring for it. Right, happiness. And, you know, as we said before, this knowledge or activity and love, right? These are the elements. So depending upon how you apply it, then that will be the value or the need in your particular object, right? And then the knowledge of the field that they have, the activities they'll perform in that, then they have that also becomes name, right? You know, you work in economics, you're a businessman. You work in, you know, politics, then you're an administrator. You work in, you understand? So, depending, you get these identities and these manifestations of affection. Does that make sense? So it's the same thing. So, but because of not hearing from the Vedic literature, they're trying to establish the eternal need within the material sphere. Right? So we can see from this that you can have a materialist is trying to do that. He's trying to create heaven on earth. So it's not a religious principle to establish heaven on earth. That's just common. That's what every living entity is trying to do, right? The bird is trying to make a really nice nest. It's the same principle. Right? So that's just because of the nature of the soul. So what makes something spiritual or religious is its connection to the Lord. Right? In the Katha Upanishad 2:2:1, it is said, the unborn supreme personality of Godhead, whose heart is supremely pure, also resides in the city of 11 gates, that is the material body of the conditioned soul. In Bhagavad Gita 14.5, the supreme personality of Godhead explains, material nature consists of the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. When the living entity comes in contact with nature, he becomes conditioned by these modes. So that means, somehow, didn't we go through this, was last year, year before, the discussion on the 11 gates? Because there was what we deal with plus...
No, it was the Chandriya, the Karmendriya plus the mind. The organs of action, the organs of knowledge.
And the mind, okay, so that was the 11 gates, because that's through which they'll work. Yeah, yeah. So then maybe it was a good thing. Maybe it was what do you call it? Because your mother used to say, like, you have a hole in your head or something like that. So then, you know, maybe that was she was able to see these great more gates. You know. Sutta 24. Anadir ananta. Anadir ananta cha parameshvara shaktivat. Because it is the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the material nature has neither beginning nor end. Right? So it itself is eternal and is unlimited. Right? But it's only manifest within this part of the universe. I mean the cause of creation. Does that make sense? Summary of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura's commentary. The avidya prakriti originates from the primal potency of the Supreme Lord. Right? Primal potency, so we're getting back to here the Sarup Shakti. It's another name for primal potency. Because Sarup Shakti, you know, means that would be all in Sanskrit. So the primal potency of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the non-sentient objects may be called beginningless and endless like the jivas. Still, the reality of avidya cannot be compared to the eternal reality of the Supreme Lord. Because the reality of avidya depends on the autocratic will of the Supreme Lord. In the Smriti Shastra it is said, please know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His material energy are both beginningless. Right? So the material energy being is non-different from the Lord, and therefore is beginningless like the Lord, but it's an inferior manifestation of His potency. Yes?
Is that why people are attracted
to studying history? Because it's the eternality of material nature. But the eternality is because it's part of the Lord's potency. And what they're studying in nature is actually the interaction of the modes, which are empowered by, you know, the Lord's potency to create these phenomena of experience, values and experiences. You know, that at this point, you know, everyone valued freedom. You know, I mean, they've been, you know, how you say, non-free for a long time, and now they've decided suddenly. It's like, you know, is it, you know, the... Yeah, does that make sense? He's just there for a while, he just kind of accept that that's the way it is, but then at some point everybody goes, hey, you know, and then, you know, it all changes. And
so looking because we're eternal, and looking because we're eternal,
yeah.
Or something beyond us, that if there's no idea of the spiritual aspect.
Yeah, but you could probably look anywhere for that, because even those who are looking into the future, those who are looking into the present... be the same thing, just there you have the element of the ignorance, what's past, but I guess that's why the history departments are kind of like quiet and boring, you know, like
tomb-like.
Yeah, tomb-like, dank, a little bit, you know, dark, adds to the flavor, you know. I don't think you see a really bright and colorful history department, right? Just wouldn't, you know, art department, yes, or, you know, I said.
He's got a ball.
Yeah, the mascot's a mothball. Okay, so we'll continue then.
Tomorrow.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.